Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for, well, an intelligence briefing on what I think of as the war for the free world. A man in the thick of that war today, as he has been for a long time, is our first guest. He is Dr. Sebastian Gorka. He is currently the Horner Chair at the Marine Corps University and the National Security Editor of one of my favorite places, Breitbart News Network. Seb Gorka, welcome back. It's good to have you with us, sir.
It's great to be back, Frank. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about what I think of as the President's Reassurance Roadshow, or Trust Me Tour. He's in Europe at the moment, making speeches in Poland and elsewhere. And what is palpable, Seb, is that there is a lack of confidence in this president, and perhaps as a result in the country. Why is that? And is he making any headway in trying to turn it around?
Well, the reasons for the lack of confidence, are quite obvious from the European, or especially Central European perspective. Let's not forget that several years ago, the administration announced a pivot to Asia. They made a very clear open statement that the areas that they're usually interested in, especially the Middle East, Europe, are less important, and Obama and his White House saw the partnerships with Asian nations as taking priority. So not only are the countries of Europe less important, there were also deals cancelled, whether it was missile deals or other collaborations with Washington that really made the countries of the region feel as if they were unwanted and no longer important. And of course, on top of that, you have the events of this spring. You have Russia breaking the taboo, which has lasted since World War II, of not using force to redraw borders on the Eurasian continent. The annexation of Crimea and the further violence orchestrated by Russian or pro-Russian forces in the Ukraine has meant that there are NATO allies on the border of Ukraine and on the border of Russia that are physically unsure of the future of their territorial integrity. So the reassurance was clearly needed. Whether it is having any resonance is another question.
This is, again, coming against the backdrop you've mentioned that the pivot didn't exactly work out. The president was making a similar kind of trust me tour in Asia recently, and it didn't seem to be selling there either, Seb Gorka. To the extent that we now are seeing allies undermined and demoralized and enemies emboldened, does this, in fact, in your mind, set the predicate for conflict in one region or perhaps both before too long?
Well, if you read the president's speech to West Point last week, it is a disturbing presentation of how he sees the world. The message, firstly, most of what he has to say is really very detached from reality about how everybody looks to America when Nigerian schoolgirls are kidnapped or buildings are taken over in the Ukraine. So on the one hand, he seems to be in an alternate universe. But on the other, throughout, there was this message that we don't want to lead anymore. We're going to give the priority to our partners and allies. And if they want to take action, that's great. And we'll just lead from behind. But that's never been America's role, whether it was a Republican president or a Democrat president. America was always seen as the nation, whether inside alliances like NATO or without, that would lead when there was a crisis, that would have some kind of response, some strategic answer to these kinds of problems. And it seems that we're in a strategic vacuum today. He can make speeches and read teleprompters, but what is America's vision of itself? How are we going to stop Chinese aggression? How are we going to deal with North Korea, the mullahs, Russia, and so forth? Simply is not obvious to us.
Well, one manifestation of the president's response, apparently, Seb Gorka, is what I think of as kind of a military tourism slush fund in the order of $1 billion. Principally, it seems to be used to rotate U.S. forces in and out of Europe, including deployments that are underway at the moment. Is this likely to be persuasive or dissuasive, more to the point, to the likes of Vladimir Putin, do you think?
I don't think so. If you look at how he understands geopolitics and geostrategy, I mean, number one, he knows as well as anybody else, and the president had to admit this, that he hasn't floated this past Congress, and Congress hasn't approved it. So, okay, maybe he can give, a nice idea about military tourism, but what if Congress says, no, you're not getting any extra money? And it's not a strategic response. You need to step up to the plate, and you need to hurt the Kremlin in those places where it is most fragile, and that is, of course, the support from the oligarchs. So the idea that the $1 billion in shuffling American or other NATO forces around the map is actually going to stop Russia from moving into Transnistria, Moldova, Armenia, or elsewhere really doesn't quite make the grade in the geostrategic world.
Seb Gorka is our guest. He is the Horner Chair at the Marine Corps University and the National Security Editor for Breitbart News Network. You have been writing at Breitbart, among other places, Seb, recently about the Bergdahl affair, the exchange of a captured Sergeant Bo Bergdahl in turn for the release of five top Taliban commanders. Give us your quick sense of what was done there and what its implications might be.
Wow. Well, the problem with this whole affair is, irrespective of the statutory requirements to inform Congress and everything else, we basically made the worst trade of the century. Let's just ignore the fact that this PFC, this private, may have actually gone AWOL or deserted. We literally traded the Taliban war cabinet for one private who really wasn't too happy about being in the U.S. military anyway. We traded the Taliban chief of staff. We traded the Taliban deputy minister of intelligence. Just one of those trades doesn't make sense. But five of them in a way that they can actually move about freely after a year and can go right back into theater and start attacking our interests makes absolutely zero national security sense. On top of that, I've spoken to special forces officers who were involved in the search for now Sergeant Bergdahl, and they made a very important point. Don't worry about the military. The military can protect themselves. But with this trade, you have sent a very, very simple message. American civilians around the world are now fair game. If the Taliban, the Haqqani network, or anybody else in the Al-Qaeda universe wants concessions out of us, they know that they can get them if they kidnap somebody and then demand to negotiate with the White House. This is why we don't negotiate with terrorists.
Let me just ask you about one other thing, Seb. You've spent a lot of time with the United States military as well as studying grand strategy over the years. You have heard Susan Rice, the president's national security advisor, describe Bo Bergdahl as a man who served with honor and distinction. He was promoted during his time in captivity. And yet it seems as though, both on the basis of what some of his comrades in arms said and presumably whatever investigation was conducted after his disappearance, that there was real reason to believe that he had deserted. What do you make of what was going on in this part of the story? And again, will we likely see, as General Dempsey has sort of signaled, that he may yet be brought up on charges when he gets home?
Well, I hope there is an investigation, because he actually made propaganda videos for the Taliban in where he said, I was separated from my patrol. And we know that's not true. We know now that he walked off base. He emailed his parents the day before saying that he hates America and America disgusts me and is horrific. And now we have a report that he may have requested to rescind his U.S. citizenship. So this is a person who his friends say, his acquaintances, joined the U.S. military so he could help the Afghan people, and who said that he wants to give philanthropic support to the war effort. This is all very peculiar. And add to that the last a very strange aspect. We have his father, who wears a full beard reminiscent of the Taliban Salafists, greet his son from the Rose Garden outside of the White House in Arabic, praising Allah. There is a very deep backstory to this, and it needs to be investigated.
We know you will be doing it at Breitbart News Network, among other places. Dr. Seb Gorka, thank you very much for joining us. As always, it's a real honor to have a chance to visit with you, and I appreciate you taking the time to do it. Next up, we'll talk with Diana West. We'll get her sense of this Bergdahl affair and more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.